Today's words of wisdom will be presented in Arabic and English with subtitles in Arabic, Olasese or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Turkish, and Urdu. More languages are available online. For your special language, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/subtitles. تعد دبي مدينة عالمية ومركز التجارة والاستقرار ولديها ماضي عريق وإرث ثقافي غني. في مارس 2010 تم تكريم حكومة دبي بجائزة القيادة العالمية المشرقة من كبيرة المعلمين شينغهاي كتكريم لحظرها التدخين في الأماكن العامة. في ديسمبر 2010 أول مؤتمر نباتي في الشرق الأوسط على الإطلاق تم عقده في مركز معرض دبي الدولي، وتمت الدعوة العامة للمشاركة في استكشاف تفاعلي لنمط العيش النباتي. تم تنظيمه من قبل المنظمة النباتية في الشرق الأوسط مي فيج تحت رعاية معرض الشرق الأوسط للمنتجات الطبيعية والعضوية لعام 2010، وتمت الموافقة عليه من قبل سلطة دبي الصحية في الإمارات العربية المتحدة. قدمت الفعالية ندوات على مدى يومين، ورش عمل، وبث تلفزيوني مصور مع الخبراء من حول العالم، إلى جانب مطعم تجديد الشباب النباتي. إلى جانب كبير المعلمين شينغهاي والتي تمت دعوتها شخصيا لتتحدث عن طريق رابط فيديو بخصوص كون المرء نباتيا هو خيار غذائي مستدام من الناحية البيئية، وتبعها جلسة أسئلة وأجوبة مع الحضور، وإطلاق النسخة العربية من الكتاب الأكثر مبيعا على المستوى الدولي الطيور في حياتي، والذي سبق أن بيع بالكامل قبل الإصدار.
الطيور في حياتي طبع من قبل المتحدة للطباعة والنشر التابعة لشركة أبوظبي للإعلام ADMC، والمملوكة لصاحب السمو الشيخ محمد بن زايد بن سلطان آل نهيان ولي عهد أبوظبي وولي عهد رئيس الإمارات العربية المتحدة.
ندعوكم الآن إلى الاستماع بإعادة البث التالية لمؤتمر الفيديو المباشر مع كبيرة المعلمين شينغهاي بعنوان أول مؤتمر نباتي في الشرق الأوسط مي فيج، الذي عقد في مدينة دبي في الإمارات العربية المتحدة في 7 ديسمبر 2010.
So our next speaker is going to be Shankar, and I'll tell you a little bit about him. Shankar Narayan is the founder president of Indian Vegan Society. He's the regional coordinator for India, Southwest Asia, the International Vegetarian Union. He was a lacto-vegetarian since birth, but has been a vegan for 10 years. He lived in Dubai for 5 years, but presently he resides in rural India. And he's organized several events to spread the message of vegan living. So let's put our hands together for Shankar, and he'd like to share his views.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm very thankful to the organizers for inviting me to be here and allowing me to share my experiences as a vegan, life as a vegan. Mahatma Gandhiji, the father of India, and my moral guru said, truth and non-violence are as old as mountains. I have nothing new to tell the world. Same is the case with me. I have nothing new to tell the world. If I say something that is already existing. So life as a vegan, this is the topic I am asked to speak. And my life as a vegan for the last 10 years is very interesting. What is vegan? So vegan is a word derived from the word vegetarian. The original concept of vegetarianism or the essence of vegetarianism doesn't allow any animal products, at least in diet. So vegetarian or dietary vegan is one who doesn't consume any animal products. Then what's the difference between vegan and a vegetarian? If vegetarian doesn't consume any animal products, then who is vegetarian? Who is vegan? So vegan is one who doesn't consume any animal products, including honey, and he doesn't use any animal products also. Maybe leather, silk, or wool, or going into circus like services of animals, going on animals for a ride or entertainment or experimentation. Animals are as good as his own family members. There is no exploitation, no use of animals being a vegan. An Indian vegan. See, according to Vegan Society of UK, that is the first vegan society in the world, they define veganism as such. Veganism is a way of living that seeks to exclude, as far as possible and practicable, all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purpose. It's all purposes included, so no animals as far as practical and possible. These two are conditional, so one can exempt oneself based on all these conditions. This is defined as such by Vegan Society UK. The original intention of veganism is to prevent cruelty to animals by human actions. But later, they added two more important aspects of veganism. That is for preservation or promotion of our own physical health and protection of environment. Environmental aspects are gaining a lot of momentum because global warming and climate change, all these are caused by human activities, especially with regard to food. So, veganism is promoted for these three reasons. One is for prevention of cruelty to animals. Second one is for human health. Third one is for protection or promotion of better environmental conditions. We have to eat some food. Without eating any food, we can't survive. If there is a possibility of surviving without eating any food, that Dr. B.A. McDe was saying, we get energy from sun. I would prefer to do that instead of eating plant also, because people argue that plants do have life. Why do you kill plants? So I can't survive without eating plants. So I have to eat plants. So we survive on 100% plant food. So we don't eat or use animals for any dietary purpose. And being happy and healthy is a second part of this. And that doesn't end our veganism. The very important part of veganism for me, derived from Mahatma Gandhi's life, derived from many other people, and derived from our own ancient teachings like Bhagavad Gita, these moral qualities, non-violence or ahimsa, is foundation of all principles. So ahimsa is another one. This is part of veganism. Akrodh, freedom from anger. If you get anger for valid reasons, sometimes we feel we are very angry because there is a reason to be anger. But you have to control anger. If you have a sattvic food which gives a sobering effect on your body and mind, you cannot get anger. Allow means non-greed. Gandhi again said, earth provides enough for man's needs, but not for greeds. That's why we are at this stage. We are always greedy. We want to accumulate more. We are not happy with what we have. We are not happy with what we earn. So we shouldn't have any greed being part of this. Next, aparigraha. Aparigraha means non-possession. We always feel everything is mine. So the whole world is mine to enjoy. Everything belonging to me. That kind of thinking we generate with more and more materialistic lifestyle. So we being Indian vegan, we try to avoid that possession. We don't feel everything is mine. So if someone takes, okay, we don't feel very angry or we don't feel very depressed with that kind of activity, something happening to us. Then dan, charity. charity is in everything, every culture. So when we have more, we should give that to someone who is in need. So giving it to someone who is in need, who is underprivileged, is part of Indian veganism. And daya, mercy, when someone is suffering, it's not just humans, it is for all sentient beings. All sentient beings who suffer need mercy. So when they are in need of some sympathy or help, we need to empathize and support them with our help. Dharma, righteousness, doing the right thing. So we have a thinking mind, we cannot just ignore it just because it's inconvenient to us. If something is wrong, we shouldn't do. If something is right, we should do. There was a saying, something which motivated me. The world is not bad because of bad people, it is bad because of inaction of good people. If there is something is to be done, which is righteousness to do, and we have to do that. That is dharma, we say. Then dhirta. Dhirta means fortitude. In times of crisis, we should not lose our courage. And durdarshita, prudence. So we have to think, if not worry, we have to think about tomorrow. Karuna, compassion. So empathize with others. So there are so many values. Forgiveness, cordiality, dietary moderation. Moderation, mitahar. Splurging on too much is not good for us. Eating less is in fact good for us. Penance, equanimity, restraint, truth, physical discipline, faith, purity, good conduct, asceticism. Asceticism means living with minimum resources. Again, our ancient rishis, ancient saints were doing that. Even if we had more, we won't use all those, because we can live with minimum resources. Patience. In the modern world, we lose patience at the pettiest reason. Having patience is very important. Renunciation, detachment, modesty. There are so many qualities which we need to focus and develop as far as possible, as far as practical. So this is the idealism we keep as things to practice. It may not be easy to practice at one go. If you have a focus on all these, it is certainly help us to go ahead in our life and improve our lifestyle. So what are the positives of achieving or practicing all these ethos of Indian veganism? Calmness of mind. We cannot live without worrying. So this kind of practice of Indian veganism really helps us getting calmness of mind. When you are calm, you can think peacefully, you can do the right thing, you can do the appropriate thing. We talk about environment, and what is the cause of environmental degradation? It is humans and number of humans. When we go vegan, when we follow all these principles, we have lesser burden of ourselves on the planet. World population is going to be 9 billion soon. When we have lesser ecoprint per person, we can have n number of people on this, or at least a large number of human population can survive being happy and healthy without causing much damage to the earth. Then less suffering. Less suffering for humans, less suffering for fellow animals, less suffering for earth, less suffering for everyone around. When you practice this kind of veganism, a better kind of veganism, we have a total painless living. When you stop being cruel to others, when we do stop being part of cruelty others are doing, we do a justice for ourselves, we be more happy, we reduce suffering for everyone. With physical health, I already touched upon that. Being a vegan, you need to be very conscious about your health. Nutrition experts say we need to take B12 supplements. There are doctors, there are nutritionists. Taking their advice, you need to be healthy. You need to be very, very strong physically. Lonely world, you have to be mentally very strong. Otherwise, you feel isolated in this world. You feel lonely. You feel depressed. You feel you can't do anything in this world. But think positive. Think positive about the world. Think positive about others. So, take everyone in your stride. Empathize with others. Understand others, live with others. When you do that, you don't feel lonely. Everyone is with you, everyone can come with you. So mentally, you can be very strong with that kind of attitude. So with all these, whether it is worth, surely I feel being vegan is worth it. Because veganism harms none. We don't harm anyone, we don't feel ill of anyone, and it does a world of good. When you change yourself, as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. When you see change in you, you see the change in the world. When you do certain good things, then that percolates to other activities also. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you so much, Shankar. Our next speaker, Thomas, I'd like to share a bit of information about him. Thomas has a master's in agriculture. He worked for 5 years for the German pioneer fair trade company, Gepa. And for about 14 years, he's been with IFOAM in different management functions, etc. So please put your hands together for Thomas.
First of all, I'd like to thank the team who is broadcasting this session to the world. I'm very much impressed, to be honest, that this is live stream possible. And I thank all the volunteers doing that, because I tried myself for the International Federation of Organic Agriculture, where I'm working for, to include a few members to our site event last Friday in Cancun, when we have been talking about the organic agriculture effects on climate change. And it was quite difficult, and the bandwidth was a problem, and I admire very much that this is possible here. So thank you very much for that. So why I am here, I like to bring the message to you how your products are produced, where the fruits and vegetables come from, matters. I like to speak a word for organic agriculture being the most sustainable method, and not only that, being even the most economic way of producing food, not only in the very future, but also now. So the International Federation of Organic Agriculture Movement exists now 38 years, and our mission is to make the world organic. And there are a few components which are important in this regard. That is on three columns: ecology, social justice, and economy. Those are the items which build the fundament and the background of organic. And that is why the method is the most sustainable agricultural method and even lifestyle in the world. Organic agriculture is a production system that sustains the health of soils, ecosystem, and people. People before commodities, that's important. We talk about people. It relies on ecological processes, biodiversity and nutrition, energy and water cycles adapted to the local conditions. Rather than on the use of inputs with adverse effects, you know what is meant by that one, chemical inputs and pesticides, mostly. Organic agriculture combines three things: tradition, innovation, and science, to benefit the shared environment and promote fair relationships and a good quality of life for all involved. Organic agriculture is more than just covering market demands. It's not just a trend or a fashion. It's a concept, and is sustainability put into practice. We have achieved already quite some growth and quite a lot. All over the planet you find organic production. Million hectares are converted. It's growing, and the sales are going up. However, our potential is not well recognized all over the place yet. We have a few reports acknowledging what we did, including the recent World Agricultural Report, which is called IASTD. They are acknowledging sustainable and organic agriculture as the best method to move forward. What are the challenges? Just the major ones. We have the challenge about food security, climate change, biodiversity, sustainable resources, water and soil. So we have it in the conventional agriculture, and our concepts address it in a different way. So we come as a movement to the point that small farmers are the most suffering, but also the most important stakeholder group in when we talk about nourishing the world. They are where the food is produced. They need to nourish their families, and they go to the market with their products. So the smallholders are on focus for the development we think is important for the future of the earth. Why? Small farmers are the bulk producers of global food. They are the stewards to take care of environment as much as they know, and we know that specifically traditional agriculture carries a lot of knowledge to protect nature. We have lost it over the years. Before, it was very clear that nature is our body. We cannot even damage it because it's ours.
With the industrialized agriculture approach, we have lost this knowledge, and we treat the earth like a different component of the economy, but not as ours. Higher sustainable productivity increase will have a major impact on poverty reduction. So the relation between small farmers and poverty is obvious. Now, where to go? The concept is also simple. We call it sustainability, and it means development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. In a way, a very simple logic, easy to follow. Here's just one way to try to measure sustainability. It's a Swiss study which compares different ways of agriculture here and different aspects of sustainability. It's about food security, economy, working conditions, product quality, natural resources, animal welfare, biodiversity, climate change. There's a study available from 2008 that says organic agriculture has the potential to reduce CO2 concentration in the atmosphere by this and this amount of gigatons, and that means to reduce the whole emission of agriculture by half or even more. So that's one little aspect in a way. Not carbon alone will count for the future of our planet, but it's one aspect you should take into consideration when we talk about sustainability. Therefore, this report I already mentioned earlier, the World Agricultural Report, IASTD, recommends organic agriculture and sustainable agriculture due to the better land management, crop, and also because we are supporting the small farmers. Taxes I already mentioned on pesticides and fertilizers, that would be the easiest way to go for it. The lobby is not there yet, so be my lobby. Help us to go there all over the globe. This is the way to make it cleaner. You also should see the subsidies which are invested in the wrong way of agriculture, still promoting the pollution more than avoiding it. And if you initiate programs to enhance biodiversity, stop soil degradation, then we are coming closer to the true price. There are different aspects for the external cost categories, environmental, health, and social. Just a few examples. I mentioned water pollution. There are climate change aspects, for example, the mitigation of climate change. We are trying to bring it into the discussion with the UNFCCC, Cancun, and all over, how to calculate it, how to make the organic farmers benefit from the work they do bringing humus into the soil, making it a sink for CO2. They do a good job. Why not pay for that? Soil degradation. If you count how many hectares we're losing every day by bad treatment, erosion, by building more roads and cities, this is an aspect to count for. We have to calculate and pay them who keep the land for farming. It's a price aspect. Loss of biodiversity, how to quantify? How to quantify the benefit to have hedges in between your fields and to make a living organism about your farm? This needs to be quantified and come to the price. Health, you discussed a lot this morning. Diseases caused by chemicals, for example, coming from agriculture. Allergies. Social. Rural development and employment. How to count for that organic agriculture brings more employment to the villages. They can keep their work running. They don't have to escape to the cities. I like to state organic agriculture is the most economic way to nourish this world, now and in future. We are not there yet. We know that organic agriculture is small still. The awareness is important among those who take the decisions, both in economy and also on governmental level, as well as the consumer level. The consumer power is tremendous. Let's use it even better. Advocacy is important to bring it forward, that we have the research we need, the innovation, and finally also the trade environment, for example, harmonized standards and regulations, which IFORM is very much engaged in, so that on the long run, organic will be the way to go. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you so much, Thomas. It was really quite informative for most of us, and a little token of appreciation. So guys, what are we doing to save the planet? Earlier on, Shankar said a beautiful quote by Gandhi, which I also like, that be the change you want to see. Absolutely. It's so easy to point to others. Oh, somebody needs to do it. Where's that somebody going to come from? As long as we do our little part, just small steps, unconditional, our little random acts of kindness, each and every day we need to see how we are making a difference. So Sandhya and some other very, very interesting and creative people thought that there should be some kind of... maybe I'd let Sandhya explain all that, right? So if I could request you to come on the stage, Sandhya. Thank you.
All the media in UAE have been very supportive. We've had such wonderful response in the last 3 years, you know, baby steps going on. We thought we need to bring this focus group out of the Facebook and the website and the different online media that we are in and give it a face. So this Congress happened so that we come up front as volunteers. And thanks to Minop, we brought this whole thing together. But it is necessary to have a tool when you want to make a change. So we came up with the Veggie Starter Guide, which is there online available for free download for anybody in the region. This particular guide, if you see, has got why, how, impact on diet, a lot of Middle Eastern flavors. Okay, the food has so much vegetarian in it. We do a lot of presentation on just Middle Eastern vegetarian cuisine. Why we need to go veg. And all those very beautiful people out there who are hale and hearty celebrities. And as a support group, with all the support from all of you here today and from everybody, we plan to start 2011, have a support group in the UAE for people who want to make the change. They want to know how to go about it. So this is one tool that we had launched about 3 months ago, but today I'm so delighted to announce the launch of our second tool. What we have today is the first 100% vegetarian map of Dubai, which is being launched so that you can have a ready tool when you go there. It's going to be available at all the airports, at all the different outlets, restaurants, and this is our humble effort that has been supported by one of the companies called SPI. You see them on our gratitude banner out there, who've come forward and produced and published this. Thank you so much, SPI.
The next step is to put it on the GPS system as well, the veggie map. Yes, excellent. Let's launch that.
Yes, please. Can I have all our volunteers please up here on stage? Thank you.
These volunteers have been working day and night to put up this wonderful Congress. Because of their support, it's been a wonderful ride.
Our next speaker is going to be Cintha. Cintha Gonzalez has been a vegetarian for 30 years and a raw foodist for 7 years. Cintha comes from the US, which she left in 1987. She has lived in Latin America and Europe since then and now has been in UAE for the last 12 years. During her 25 years as a counselor, plus her own personal journey, she has come to understand the rich relationship between food and emotion. Now, that's a very interesting point to our eating habits. So I give the stage to Cintha.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just first want to thank MeVeg. I'm really honored to be part of this, and I think it's just an absolutely wonderful gathering and raising the consciousness. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this. So my talk is called Food, Emotion, and Life Force. I want to go into the emotional aspect of food and the link there. There are two ways we can approach this. The first is that slogan, put down the food, feel the feelings. I'm going to elaborate on that. And then the second one is sometimes you may not be able to do that. It's like it's too nebulous to say, I'm going to put down the food. I don't even know the difference between hunger, physical hunger, and emotional hunger. So what I'm going to do is present to you some examples of how the different foods that you may be craving or that you're obsessing about or that you have to have can actually be a mirror to you of what you're actually feeling. As a counselor, I help people a lot in this. Sometimes you may have a certain obsession with a type of food or a substance, and you're not ready to put it down. You're not ready to feel the feelings. It's too scary. It's too frightening to go into what's there. And sometimes a guide is necessary to accompany you to go into what's really there. So the first one I talk about here, crunchy foods. So crunchy foods are usually to do with anger, boredom, and mulling over something, or chewing on a decision, or chewing on a problem. Okay, all the carbs, those are filler foods, filling the void, disconnection. And disconnection can be that feeling of loneliness, even though you're in a room full of people, even though you're in a big family, whatever the case may be. But it's also what we would say a spiritual connection, however we define that spiritual connection to be. But it's that connection with a oneness. Okay, sugar, love. It's there, the sweetness of life. Wanting that, and ultimately, you know, whether it's love from outside, if you're projecting that, you're not getting that love from others around you, needing to give that love to yourself, needing to really know your own worthiness of love. Okay, caffeine, passion, motivation. A lot of people struggle with the caffeine addiction. And this stuff is not so matter of fact or just, oh, well, no big deal. Okay, put down the caffeine and then find your motivation somewhere else. So this kind of thing is not lighthearted here. Sometimes this demands radical ego death, radical surrender to your truth, even though it's extremely overwhelming in terms of the consequences of what this would mean. So all of these things are signals, and of course it's working with them and gradually finding your way to come on the other side and listening to what does my body really want. And if I'm not listening to what my body wants, why is that? Why am I using that food to completely abuse my body, to run over my body? And why am I not listening to the emotion? And how can I find ways to do that? Okay, chocolate. I'm sure there's not one person here that's never eaten chocolate. What do you tend to go to? And where do you tend to eat a bit more, if you've had that experience, more than you really need or really want, or you're hurting yourself with too much of that? If it's just pure dark chocolate, it's just that you just need a real fix with the motivation, the passion. Now, I talk about fizzy drinks like the sodas, and that's when we're wanting some pizzazz, we want some fun, we want something different. We're in a place where either we're bored or it's just things just aren't happening for us. Okay, now, there's a woman, she's been a real teacher to me, one of my favorite teachers while I've been, you know, learning and continuing on this path of eating only raw food. Her name is Victoria Butenko. She's a Russian woman who emigrated a long time ago to the United States. A lot of people come to raw food for different reasons. Some people come to it for diabetes. Some people come with, you know, life-threatening illnesses, some with obesity. You know, there's many reasons. Mine was actually more of a spiritual quest. I really wanted to just be in that, like, heightened and refined vibration all of the time. That was my quest. I didn't come for health reasons. Okay, I show here the raw food diet versus the American standard diet. I would say mine is probably quite a bit more greens and less seeds and things, but pretty much that's my diet. So you can see the difference. And of course, which I'm going to move on to next, is the life force. I mean, when you look at the difference between that and you just think about life force, what are we taking in when we're taking in on the right side? Okay, so I give here all these different examples of sources of prana and ways to bring in the prana, bring in that life force. When we cook food over 42, 43 degrees centigrade, the enzymes are killed off, all of them. They're all killed off. So when the enzymes are that life force energy, when we maintain that those enzymes in the food, we are taking in that life force energy directly. And it's a gradual thing. You know, the more and more you take in that live food, this raw food, and all that life force energy, the more your energy will raise in vibration, and the more you will want more of it.
There's a lot of hype about vitamin B12 supplements and all. Do you take any supplements like that?
You know, very rarely. I don't need it. Let me speak about the B12 and the iron. First of all, the iron, you totally can get it from a plant-based diet. My body just tells me what I need. Whenever I need iron, I start craving black mission figs, figs. I just want figs, and I don't even know why. And then that's the key. Vitamin A, sometimes I'll have a calling and I'll go for the carrots. And then calcium. Sesame seeds, unhulled ideally, the brown sesame seeds, which you can get at the organic here.
Okay.
Almonds. Almonds and sesame seeds are extreme high sources, and broccoli. Now the B12, there is B12 in seaweed. You can get B12 in seaweed. And I have been fine. To be honest, it hasn't been a problem. But, you know, every once in a blue moon, I will feel a call for taking a supplement, but it's very, very rare. And it's usually actually when I'm only traveling because I'm not getting what I normally need. Thank you.
That was lovely.
I think we should treat animals a lot better than we treat them now. We're being selfish by not taking care of the planet, because this planet is not just for us, it's for the other animals as well, the parrots, the you know, the birds, the lions, the tigers, everybody. A lot of the animals are going extinct because we've been killing them for either fun or sport. Be veg, go green to save the planet.
These 2 days I'm coming to this conference, and I really enjoy. I learned so many things about the vegetables and about the health. Today's food, which I am eating now, it is really delicious, very nice, healthy. It is so attractive, and I really like this delicious food. Thank you very much.
Be veg, go green to save the planet. Yo!
مشاهدينا الرحماء، نحن نقدر حضوركم النبيل في حلقة اليوم من برنامج كلمات الحكمة. تابعونا مجددا غدا في جزء 3 من إعادة البث لمؤتمر الفيديو المباشر مع كبيرة المعلمين تشينغ هاي في دبي بعنوان أول مؤتمر نباتي في الشرق الأوسط. مي فيج، برنامج عصر التكنولوجيا الذهبي يأتيكم تاليا بعد نشرة الأخبار الجديرة بالذكر هنا على شاشة قناة كبيرة المعلمين. فلتبقوا معنا من فضلكم، نستودعكم ونتمنى لكم عطلة نهاية أسبوع مباركة وبهيجة. Compassionate viewers, we appreciate your gentle presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Join us again tomorrow for part 3 of the rebroadcast of the live video conference with Supreme Master Tsing Hai in Dubai, titled The First Middle East Vegetarian Mi Veg Congress. Golden Age Technology is coming up next after noteworthy news right here on Supreme Master Television. Please stay tuned. We bid you adieu and wish you a blessed and joyous weekend.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.